two guests in the studio with me now, Andy Vabor from Travel Lane County and Brian Saunders. We'll find out a little bit more about Brian in a minute here. But we're going to talk about the Dune Restoration Collaborative that's going on and been going on and work that's been going on the dunes. Andy, what are some of the things that you can talk about that have happened over the past year?
Well, we're really excited to be here and giving everybody an update on the Oregon Dunes Restoration Collaborative. Just a little background, the collaborative started some 5 years ago when the Forest Service brought together a really diverse group of constituents. So we've got, you know, people from Oregon Wild. We've got people from Save the Riders Dunes, which are not two groups you would normally think about in the same sentence.
Right.
We've got folks from the tribes, from elected officials, Forest Service, former Forest Service, and then just citizen volunteers. Folks like me from the hospitality industry who have all come together to really tackle this problem of invasive species out on the dunes.
You know, taking us back a ways, at some point somebody thought, hey, let's plant some stuff here to keep the dunes, you know, not realizing that less of a heartbeat, but still the dunes are a living thing pretty much. I mean, you know.
They are. There's over 400 species of wildlife that exist on the dunes. And so, yeah, there were efforts made. And I think at the time, and we can probably see this throughout history in a lot of different situations,
right,
where, you know, non-native plants or animals are brought into an area with unforeseen consequences.
With good intentions.
Good intentions,
yeah.
And so the good intentions there were the natural ecosystem of the sand movement was messing with the infrastructure. It was covering Highway 101. It was, you know, filling up the jetties and, you know, covering the jetties and things like that. And so the government, and it even preceded them, but in kind of wholesale planting of beach grass, European beach grass, not the Native American beach grass, but European beach grass, which is very effective at stabilizing the dunes. And once it gets, started, then you get other plants that come in and form along with it. And then eventually you have a forested area where you used to have moving sand.
And over time, it's had the negative impact that they were hoping for. I mean, other than keeping sand off 101, I mean, yeah, still, but yet not what they had planned on.
Yeah, this is the largest area of temperate coastal sand dunes in North America. So it's something very special, and we've lost about probably 75 to 80% of that open sand because of this movement of invasive species over the last 6 or 7 decades. So that's why the collaborative came together. There is an urgent need. If we don't do something now, in another generation or so, all of that open sand could be lost. So we're really interested in preserving what the good parts that we have left, the open areas, which are used for lots of different recreational purposes, hiking and camping and just nature walks. Obviously, our OHV riders love those open areas to be able to ride in. So we have those designated open areas, which are great to preserve. Then we can do some very site-specific, that's our second goal, is site-specific restoration projects. And then the third level is landscape restoration, where we really try to go in and knock down that foredune that has turned into basically a little shrubby forest and get that open sand moving from the beach back inland the way it had in the past. So those were our three main goals of the collaborative that we've been working on. We kind of wrapped that up in a really nice coffee table book that's available from us and from folks like the Chamber of Commerce here in Florence. So we really encourage people to pick up one of those, learn about the background of the dunes and
more importantly, what they can do to help and
exactly.
Get involved.
Yeah, and how they can help is a number of different ways. You know, if they're really interested, they can join the collaborative and work with us on one of the work groups of the collaborative. We've got volunteer work parties that are going on regularly throughout the year. I know in looking at just last fiscal year, and we go on a federal fiscal year that ended in September, almost 1,800 hours of volunteer time in the various work groups, but 1,300 of that in work parties, people going out and, you know, cutting down gorse and scotch broom, which is the typical work party. You can't go out and pull beach grass. It's not effective. Mm. So we go out and cut down the gorse, pull out the scotch broom where we can on the smaller plants or cut them down, just keep kind of beating that back. And so there's been really good success in some of these small pockets doing those types of work groups.
So introduce Brian to everybody now here and tell a little bit about, and then Brian, you can obviously speak for yourself too.
Yeah, Brian Saunders comes to us through the University of Oregon's RARE program, and I'll let him tell you what that acronym means because I usually mess it up. But it's an AmeriCorps program where participants work in rural areas around the state of Oregon. And last year we had our first opportunity through some Forest Service funds to have a RARE participant be our outreach coordinator, and that was a young man named Jeff Malik. And Jeff did a really nice job for us in really kind of working with all of our work groups. And this year we got a grant and some money from Lane County to fund the program again. And so we're excited to have Brian here with us in that position.
Now, Brian, you're from the East Coast. How long have you been out on the West Coast?
I've been out on the West Coast for about 4 weeks.
4 weeks. So yeah, you'll get a nice introduction to our winter weather.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
So tell me a little bit about what you're involved in then.
Okay, so I am the communications and outreach coordinator for the Oregon Dunes Restoration Collaborative, and my job is to, you know, engage our volunteers, build capacity throughout the program, and pretty much my main goal this year is to facilitate the development of a 3 to 5 year strategic plan, which will really move us forward in the coming years.
How, maybe this is a question for Andy, but how effective are the work parties in stemming the preponderance of plant life that's out there? I'm trying to figure out how to say that.
But. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the work party has been great. I mean, I've attended all of them that I've been here, been in Oregon so far. But the work that we've done, the visual photos that we've seen is just absolutely insane. We've taken out acres of scotch broom and gorse over the course of a few years. So if we keep doing that over the time, we're getting some super big progress made.
Yeah, just really not too far from here, the Hasita Dunes area is an area of 5 to 10 acres that they've been working on these hand work parties for the last several years, and going out just a couple hours at a time and strategically cutting back the gorse and scotchman. If people know, people over here probably know a lot more about it than most of us in the valley, but you know, scotch broom in particular and those plants, you know, they reproduce pretty wildly in terms of the number of seeds. And so it's something that you've, again, all of this, you have to keep coming back. It's not like we're going to go in and just do it once and,
right,
and we're going to be done. So, but yeah, they've gotten some areas opened up and they're having really good success. And so those smaller plants are obviously easier. You can hand pull a lot of those. So getting those big ones cut down and moved away is really important.
So there's not like a move to bring in larger equipment to try to unearth some of this stuff, or is that in certain areas maybe?
Yeah, there is. There's kind of a multi-pronged approach. You know, these small work parties are you know, good in these little specific site-specific areas, but to do that larger landscape restoration that we talked about, yeah, there's a number of tools that the Forest Service has in their toolbox, including herbicides. So they go out and spray the grass, and they've had good success there because, again, if you can spray those grassy areas before the woody materials, the shrubs and the shore pines and other things get established, you're much better off. So herbicides, burning. So you'll see some burning. They have a little window here in the fall, although this fall has been a little different than the last few years. I'm not sure how much burning they got done with this early rain that we had, but burning is another effective tool in some of those areas, and then bringing in large equipment, bulldozers, excavators to really dig out that fore dune and again knock it back, get those plants out of the way, get the sand moving again. And so that really ties to some work that the Forest Service has been doing with an environmental assessment. So, you know, we have this strategic plan that looked at the entire dunes area from north of Florence all the way down to north of Coos Bay, and primarily in the dunes recreation area, and where we would apply these different goals. So where we go and do site-specific versus this landscape work. And so they have to go through an EA process. Anytime you're talking about doing big landscape work on Forest Service land, there's environmental impacts. And so that should be out probably in the next couple of months. And we're in our meeting today going to hear a report from the Forest Service on where they're at on that. And that's something that's really caused some concern for the collaborative. A lot of the areas that we identified in the strategic plan to do some of this work, we were surprised to find that there's a coastal marten that's living on the dunes, an animal that normally would live in the forest but was displaced from the forest as, you know, development happened and other things, and then here, lo and behold, this nice little coastal forest that's been built up through this invasive process is a perfect habitat for this little coastal marten. So suddenly now we've got an endangered animal that's not really native and probably native to some level along the forest edge of the dunes area. Living there, and so it's really a conundrum. The Forest Service is leaning, because that coastal marten is probably going to get listed on the endangered species list, they have to protect it then. They're forced to do that under the law, and yet it really curtails this landscape-level work that we hope to do along the dunes and get those natural processes moving and get more open sand. So it's this, you know, we're protecting the marten at the expense of maybe hundreds of species of animals and plants that are native to the coastal sand dunes area. So we're going to have a robust discussion today, I think, with the collaborative and see how best to work with that. I know it's frustrating for people who have been with the collaborative for many years working on that to hear that suddenly now a big part of our work plan has just been put on the shelf. So it doesn't mean there's not a lot of good areas to work in, preserve the best of what we already have in open sand and do some site-specific things. But we'll learn more and we'll talk about it, and I think it'll be an interesting topic, and we'll see what our options are.
All right. Is there anything else you want to just touch on really quickly, or does that pretty much get us to where we...
Well, I think the other thing is just working with the state and federal government. One of the things that we're working on, we've had Senator Merkley's chief of staff out on the dunes on a field trip, and Congressman DeFazio, we just had him out last month. He was down speaking here at the Coastal Caucus here in Florence, and we had a chance to run him out on the dunes, talk to him and two of his aides, update them on the work. And again, these folks are really supportive of the work. DeFazio has a rich history of, you know, working to help name the John Dellenback Trail and other kind of coastal conservation type issues. So he's familiar and he's supportive. And one of the things that we want to do is write appropriations language for Congress, get that in the congressional language so that then money can be applied to our work here. So that's one of the things that we'll also be working towards in the development of our strategic plan.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here today. I appreciate it. And give us an update if something great comes out of the meeting, or maybe if something doesn't. You know?
We will. Yeah, I think as soon as the EA is out, you know, we'll post that information on the website. Our website, again, is saveoregondunes.org.
All right. Brian Saunders and Andy Vabor, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Very much.
And last but not least, I'll be speaking with Alex Skarlatos. He was on the Paris train that he and his two friends helped avert a terrorist attack. That'll be coming up in just a minute on the November edition of Our Town right after this.